Kairouan in Tunisia is a holy city. The central mosque is the fourth holiest in Islam, after Mecca, Medina and Jerusalem. For centuries, it was at the heart of the Islamization of North Africa. Mohamed Kairou, an expert on Tunisian Islam at the University of Tunis, explains how Islam was integrated with local customs.
L'Islam malikite s'est très bien adapté dans tout le Maghreb, dans toute l'Afrique du Nord.
Maliki Islam adapted across the Maghreb, so all of North Africa. It molded to the local customs, particularly to the Berber culture. There was an effort to combine reason and tradition up to a certain point, so it is a moderate Islam.
Donc c'est un Islam modéré.
Even mystical Islam or Sufism has its place. For centuries, there was a distinction between religion and politics, even if the two were interdependent. After Tunisia gained independence from France in 1957, the country's first president, Habib Bourguiba, imposed state secularism, overhauled religious institutions, and weakened the power of the religious elite. Both he and his successor, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali, harshly repressed their opponent's effort to advance an Islamist political project in Tunisia. But after the revolution and the election of the Islamist party Ennahda, these more radical ideas were no longer kept in check.
Under Ennahda's reign, as we can call it, there were many abuses. Many imams were selected for mosques who were Wahhabi and not Maliki. So that contributed to a spread of Wahhabi ideas in hundreds of mosques, which were not under state control.
Ont échappé au contrôle de l'État.
Wahhabism describes the strictly orthodox sect of Saudi Arabia, which rejects later innovations in the religion. It is a form of Salafism, which calls for a literal and fundamentalist interpretation of the Quran. Ennahda comes from a Wahhabi background.
Ils ont trouvé un homme d'origine tunisienne. Ils ont laissé.
A museum guide shows me the stairs by which two Salafist gunmen entered the Bardo Museum at around 12:30 on the 18th of March. 3 hours later, the attack was over, but 22 innocent people lost their lives. Madame Mufida is the museum director and was in her office when she heard gunfire. A member of staff ran to her office to say it was a terrorist attack.
C'est difficile de parler de ça.
It's difficult to talk about
J'ai
that.
Vu un petit garçon de 12
I ran to the scene and I saw a young boy, 12 years old, covered in blood, dying. It was awful. Nine of us then hid in one of the offices where we lay face down. We even stopped breathing. The furniture shook every time there was a burst of gunfire coming from the floor below. We didn't know what was happening. We heard screams. I'll never forget those screams. Then at 4 p.m., the police rescued us, and we walked past all the blood. It was terrible.
The attack was highly symbolic, as the museum is home to exquisite Roman mosaics and a resplendent palace, a testimony to Tunisia's rich and diverse past. But a worker at the museum told me that since March, there has been an 80% drop in visitor numbers. Up until June, tourists were still flocking to the beaches, but then a second blow came. A gunman opened fire on a beach in Sousse, killing 38 holidaymakers. This sound comes from a film shot by a security guard who pursued the gunman Saifedine Rezgim.
Extraordinary footage of the attack as it took place. Confusion and horror at what's unfolding. Hotel staff and tourists following the killer, Saifedine Rezgi.
It is a sad irony. When Rezgi initially enrolled in his electronics course in the town of Kairouan, he frequented the great mosque with such a long history. But the ideas of the aging imam did not engage him, and he soon found a smaller, more radical mosque. On the Friday following the attack on Sousse, I spoke to the imam of the mosque. He is in his 80s and looks tired and wizened, not least by the sudden interest in his mosque by journalists. He largely blames the economy for the problems.
Most of the members of these terrorist movements are unemployed. Many of them are desperate people attempting to flee a desperate situation.
For Kairou, part of the problem is that there is a generational gap between the imams and believers. The older religious leaders cannot relate to the problems faced by today's youth. But problems are not just in the religious sphere. Since the revolution, there has also been a blurring of the lines between politics and religion. The First Minister for Religious Affairs, for example, was a Salafist, and a political party called Hezbollah Tatahia was officially recognised by Ennahda, even though it boycotts elections and does not even believe in democracy. In the elections at the end of last year, a secularist party, Ennahda Tunis, came to power. But Kourou is frustrated by the lack of progress to define religion's role in Tunisian society.
All of this needs to be discussed, but this government doesn't discuss anything, just like the previous one. Once they are in power, they don't listen to anyone. And already after 6 months in power, they are in crisis because of the lack of political change. The solution has to be a debate with Muslims, among Muslims, and inside the religious sphere. The religious authorities have to find a new model of Islam, which remains state-governed, but flexible, if not democratic.
Tunisia is simultaneously facing a political, economic, and security crisis. This cocktail of difficulties for one of the world's newest democracies will not be easy to resolve. But redefining the narrative of what is Tunisian Islam is one of the key challenges. This is Claire Sharkey for RFI Tunisia.